Where are we going? Okay, stargazers and night sky enthusiasts, get ready for an astronomical treat, because we're joined again this evening by David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland and Ireland Magazine. And David, thanks indeed for humouring me and moving to Monday when my programme moved to Monday. So I really appreciate you doing that. And a very good evening to you.
A very good evening to you too. Lovely weather we're having. Lots to see with these clear skies.
Yeah. And we're going to chat about some dazzling celestial events that people won't want to miss, from the moon playing hide-and-seek with star clusters to Mars lining up with Gemini twins. There's plenty to explore. So let's look at, look at the moon and the Pleiades spectacle, David.
Yeah, this was last Saturday night when we were had the clear skies as well, and we're predicting on last week's show that you might be able to see the Seven Sister Star Cluster, also known as the Pleiades, very close to the moon. But you'd probably need binoculars on Saturday night, because the moon was actually going to pass in front of the Pleiades. We got some lovely pictures in of it up close. And normally the moon, the bright moon, would obliterate the faint stars of the cluster. You'd need a telescope to see this. But because the Pleiades are low in the west now, the moon's only a thin crescent. And I could actually see one of the Pleiades with the naked eye just as the moon was about to cover them all.
Wow.
And in a pair of binoculars, it was absolutely breathtaking. So even if you spent 20, 30 quid in a pair of binoculars, you got an amazing view of a very rare sight, because the moon will pass in front of the Pleiades every now and then, but very rarely when it's this thin crescent and you can easily see the stars at the same time as the moon. And in fact, people using binoculars would have seen the dark side of the moon was glowing. It always does this when it's a crescent. It's sunlight reflected off the Earth back onto the moon. And the photographs, when you overexpose the moon, bring out that dark side of the moon shining as well. It makes for an incredible photograph. And those pictures will be going to the next issue of Astronomy Ireland magazine.
Of course.
I can assure you, one of the highlights of the month.
And of course, you know, this weather that we're getting at the moment, not only should we be enjoying the weather, but the clear skies, as you say, they really give us some scope to see what's going on some of these events that we're going to talk about this part of the show. Now, Mars and the twins. Last weekend, the moon snuggled up close to Mars, and now it's aligning with Gemini's two brightest stars, Pollux and Castor. When's the best time to see this straight line formation, and how can listeners photograph it with just maybe a smartphone? Or can they?
Yeah, well, the answer is this week. If you're watching the moon covering the Pleiades last weekend, you would have seen last night and the night before, that the moon was quite close to Mars and Pollux and Castor. And you would have, if the moon hadn't have been there, you would have noticed they're almost in a straight line. And the Mars is very slowly moving. The stars stay the same relative to each other for centuries. But Mars will move slightly from night to night, certainly from week to week, definitely from month to month. And so you can actually see Mars slowly over the next few nights, creeping to the left, so it makes a perfect straight line with Castor and Pollux. Now, it did this before earlier this year. It was sort of heading the other direction. It's now moving right to left. A few months ago, it was heading the other direction, left to right. And Mars has faded because we're moving away from it. We go around the sun a bit faster than Mars does, so we're leaving it behind. And so Mars has faded, so it's now about as bright as Castor and Pollux, whereas it was much brighter the last time. So we're going to get these three roughly equally bright stars, in quotes, because of course one is a planet, in a perfect straight line. It'll be a bit like the Belt of Orion. A lot of people know that constellation because it's got the three stars in a row and they're roughly the same brightness. Only these will be brighter and separated by more. And the computer says the ideal night is the 10th of April, which of course is this Thursday. But tonight, they'll nearly be in a straight line. And if we get these clear skies every night, wouldn't it be a fantastic sequence to take, even with just your camera phone, your smartphone, of Mars slowly moving into alignment? And Thursday should look best. But to be honest, Wednesday and Friday, night before and after, naked eye probably won't be able to tell it isn't a straight line. So there's going to be this prominent, bright, straight line of three star-like objects in the sky this week. And let's hope the weather forecast is right. But I think this is one of the times we can trust the weather forecast. We're expecting clear skies over the whole country for the rest of the week.
Okay.
So we definitely want people to get out with their smartphones.
Now, David, aside from Mars, Jupiter's the other bright planet visible now. But you also spotted Venus at dawn. You can tell me a little bit about that, but should early risers make the effort, or is Jupiter the easier highlight for evening viewers?
Well, we don't tend to promote Venus in the morning sky very often because sunrise is around 6 a.m. this week, so not many people are going to get up before then to see anything in the sky. I think sunrise around 6:30, 6:45, depending where you are in the country. So you're going to need to be viewing around 6 a.m. or before that. And also Venus is not particularly high up. It was just all this clear sky. I was out trying to spot this new comet. It's very faint. Most people won't see it. I wanted to get an early look at it. And on the way back in the morning twilight, I just happened to glance at the horizon, marveling at how there weren't any clouds on the horizon. That was the most spectacular sight at dawn. And there was this bright star. I thought, hang on, that's Venus. I hadn't even bothered to go looking for it. Didn't expect to see it because it's rarely clear that low down. So if you are up between 5 and 6 in the morning and you look over in the sunrise glow, you may see this brilliant star, in quotes, and it's actually the planet Venus. It went between us and the sun a few weeks ago, and now it's appearing in morning skies. Eventually it'll be back in evening skies again, but it was very prominent, most people will know, all this year. It's nice to see it coming back. So if you are up at dawn, there's a little extra treat for you. And getting back to Jupiter, that you mentioned, Jupiter is very high in the west these evenings. As soon as it gets dark, you see the brightest thing in the sky is Jupiter. And if you've got a pair of binoculars, you can see its moons. If you've got a tiny telescope, you easily see them. And you might even be able to see the two main cloud belts. So Jupiter is always worth looking at in a telescope. But with the naked eye, it's a fantastic sight as well.
For sure. Now, another reason, David, to take advantage of these clear skies is at the weekend with the full pink moon. Now, it's not pink. So first of all, why do they call it the pink moon?
Yeah, each of the 12 full moons of the year, and there are 12 months. That's where we get a month from. It's roughly 30 days. In ancient calendars, people realize 12 moons usually fit into 1 year. And we still use that in our calendar system today. They've been given different names by different cultures, but the one that stuck is the one from the Native Americans, because the internet is pretty much dominated by the Americans, so they came up with naming the moons, and it sort of caught on. But there are Celtic names as well, Chinese names, and other cultures as well. But this one is called the pink moon, so called because at this time of year, the April full moon, usually pink flowers are beginning to appear on the North American landscape. So hence the name pink moon. It won't look pink in the sky, but it's named after pink flowers instead. So you're in for a brilliant full moon on Saturday night. That's the night it's perfectly full. But to the naked eye, it looks full the night before and the night after. And if people want to take a great photo, when the full moon is rising, you can line it up with interesting sights, statues, landmarks, houses, even the kids or the family members pretend to hold the moon in the hand, and do send your best photo into Astronomy Ireland magazine. We love publishing those as well.
For sure. Now, as well as that pink moon is also going to cozy up to Spica, Virgo's brightest star. How do people spot Spica near the moon, for example? How will they actually spot that?
Yeah, it's going to be very close, and normally it would be easy to see Spica. It's one of the brightest stars in the sky. And it's just above the moon on the Saturday night. So as soon as it gets dark and the moon rises, when it's getting completely dark, just look above the moon and see about one or two moon diameters above the moon. You should be able to see Spica with the naked eye. If you can't, get your binoculars out and it'll be blazing there above it. It's sort of a bluish star. It's an interesting star because it's reckoned to be one of the most dangerous stars to the Earth. Because one day we think that star is going to explode in a giant event called a supernova. And that could blast the Earth with lots of radiation that could be damaging to life. Now, don't lose too much sleep over it. It could be millions of years before that happens. But it's just interesting to know that that inconspicuous star, the brightest one in Virgo, could one day cause us a lot of trouble.
Okay. Now, David, you've a very important lecture coming up on April the 14th, Robotics and Space Exploration, with Dr. Martin Braddock. Martin Braddock, just to tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, every month we try to get an expert, a world-class expert, give a public talk that the whole family will enjoy about a different aspect of astronomy and space. This one's about space exploration. So the big debate is, should we do it with humans, which are very expensive because a spacecraft has to be ultra-reliable? I mean, if a robot spacecraft blows up, it's only going to cost a few $100 million. If human lives involved, it can ground manned space flight for 2 years in the past with things like the space shuttle program. So a lot of people think it's much cheaper to do it with robots, and we can send robots along. It would be much easier to do than sending people along. But then other people say, first of all, people want to see people on other planets, and it engages the public much better. So it's money well spent if you have to spend the extra money. That's a bit of a debate. But whether it's people or robots, what are they going to explore? So, you know, it's reckoned that the rocks that are being picked up by the rovers that we have on Mars at the moment, they can be analysed by the experiments on board, but nothing would be better than getting them back to a laboratory on the Earth or sending a human-controlled laboratory to Mars to do the kind of experiments and tests that you wouldn't have thought of until you'd actually seen the rocks.
Okay.
So there's lots of talk about this. Martin Braddock's given talks before. He's a brilliant public speaker. You can get tickets on our website, astronomy.ie. Once a month we have these lectures. I think I'll be there. I'd encourage people next Monday, 7 o'clock, to be there as well.
Okay, so just to say the Terminator film wasn't as far-fetched as we might think. Now, thanks very much, David, for guiding us through these cosmic wonders, as always. And don't forget, folks, to check out Astronomy Ireland magazine and grab your tickets for that April the 14th lecture at astronomy.ie. Until the next time, David, thanks very much indeed. And keep looking up, folks. And we'll talk to David again next week. Thanks indeed, David. Appreciate that.
Now, my pleasure.
Okay.